I would like to thank God Almighty for giving everybody so much and me so little. I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 163. I'm your temporary host for this week, Sam Neill. Joining me today is Earl.
Howdy.
And Justin.
Hello.
Wonderful intro.
That just sounds like a... Never mind, go on.
I know.
And today, we are going to be talking about stuff that we don't like. But not specifically stuff that we don't like. Stuff that other people like. That we don't like. And if you've already tuned out by now, I completely understand.
That is not a confusing premise at all.
Right? So the idea is that you've all got stuff that you just don't understand that everybody else seems to love. For me, it's the movie Les Mis and games like Metal Gear Solid, things of that nature. Today is the day that we air those grievances, make them public, and pretty much lose any sort of fan support we may have ever had.
Or games, right. You never know.
Yeah, you know, maybe...
Misery has company, as they say.
Sure.
True.
All right, so since I heard Justin talking about having a list, we'll let him start off. Go ahead, Justin.
So do you want me to just, like, do you want me to go through these, like, one by one, or just read them all down as
they
are?
Which one you feel the strongest about. We'll start from there.
Okay. Grand Theft Auto.
Whoa, okay. What don't you like about Grand Theft Auto? Why don't you understand it? Give us a little bit of a rundown.
Okay, so just as like some history, I've only played Grand Theft Auto 4, the first episode of DLC, what was it, The Lost and Damned, and like about, I say maybe after the second heist in GTA 5. And those games are just... What?
For someone who doesn't like Grand Theft Auto, that's a whole lot of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Well, I didn't finish GTA 4.
Okay.
I didn't finish any of them.
Okay.
That's,
never mind then.
Say,
that makes
it's a
more
good
sense.
Thing to experience it than just hating it to hate on it, though.
That's true.
Right. But they're just really boring. Well, okay, GTA 5 in particular is just like really freaking boring.
You're going to have to be more descriptive than that.
Well, okay. Like
for their show to work. Well, that's
right.
I don't like it.
Like, there's this one mission where like I'm scoping this place out and I had to like operate these cranes. If you play GTA 5, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but it was just so tedious and I was just so bored.
Oh, you don't like driving a forklift from place to place and working the actual job of a construction worker in a video game?
No, it's just really boring, and I don't like the characters. They're just really irritating. The controls are screwed up.
Why are the
and I don't
actually really like the controls in GTA 5, or they worked for what it's trying to do.
The biggest problem that I have, especially with GTA 5, is that I don't really feel like I'm accomplishing anything. Does that make sense?
Not particularly.
Like, when I did those heists and stuff, I never felt any richer. I didn't feel like I was gaining anything. The second heist in particular really annoyed me because I ended up having to give them money back. I felt like I just wasted my time.
I see. So you're trying to build yourself up from a story perspective, and you're trying to get annoyed because the game doesn't let you do that. I would argue Grand Theft Auto is not you trying to be the best. It's you following the story of this guy's life.
And then I wish that they had kind of been more upfront about that instead of trying to make it be like all three of these guys want like a slice of the pie and be like this the richest dudes in California.
Yeah. And some of the game is that because I mean you still can go around and do side jobs and earn money that way and stuff, but it didn't make sense for all the characters. I'll agree with you there. Grand Theft Auto. I'm not the best person to argue for this because it was not one of my favorite games last year. But I was more let down by the online mode. I actually really liked the single player, but the whole time I was playing the single player, I was like, oh man, GTA Online is going to be fantastic once it launches. It's going to be so much fun. And I played it for a day and had a lot of fun for one day. But after that first day, you sort of have done everything there is to do in the online mode, and they don't really offer much else there for it.
But I feel like the most fun... Sorry.
I was going to say, I kind of agree with Justin. I've never been a GTA fan. To me, GTA has always kind of worked against itself, in that the best part of the games is usually when you're not following the script. It's when you're just kind of creating mayhem and having fun with the open world. But I think for what it tries to accomplish, the games take themselves way too seriously. And I think that's been a big problem, especially since 4 and 5. And this is a problem I just started Fantasy Even Dogs this week, and this is a problem I have with a lot of open world games. It's like, you can do so much, but when you follow it, it's weird when you kind of have this disconnect between following the script and doing your own thing, because you can kind of go, you know, minutes, hours without doing anything in the main story, and it's very weird how the world kind of stays still while they're waiting for you to kind of move on with your life. And it's just this huge disconnect. And again, it depends on how you play it. But I feel like it works better if you don't take yourself seriously, which is why I'm a huge fan of the Saints Row series, which is like, we're going to make our side quests really goofy, so we're going to make our main missions extremely goofy to match up with it. And this way, you're always kind of having fun.
Right.
And I remember... go on.
Well, it's like, I was going to agree with you and say, I feel like that's probably why I don't like GTA as much, is because not only does it take itself seriously, it kind of forces you to take itself seriously.
Yeah, I think it was 4, where you had to like take your girlfriend out on dates and stuff like that. Like, actual dates,
right.
You went bowling.
Yeah, that
like,
was
who pretty, wants, who wants to do that in a
so,
video game?
Like, who thought that was a good idea?
Like, I get that it's making it more realistic, because that's how you would court somebody, but you don't necessarily want a more rude in a game.
I just don't want... I don't like realism in my games, for the most part, to be honest. That's not why I play video games.
I don't either,
right.
but, you know, like... And again, this is why you get open world games that don't take themselves that seriously. But at it, like, sometimes I always say it's the attention to detail that gets it right, but that's an attention to detail that's kind of in the wrong direction, and that it makes sense, and that's how it would work in the real world, but it's not fun. It's tedious, when, especially if they get upset at you if you don't answer their calls. And like, nobody likes that in the real world. How are we going to like it in a video game?
Right. So no one's going to defend country music, right?
No.
All right, good. Country music sucks. Next.
aren't you Texan? How do you not like country music?
Exactly.
He's supposed to be...
Yeah, because I'm Texan, because I hear it 24/7. I never understood country music to me, and I know this is now just turned into us complaining about stuff we don't like, which wasn't the point, but to me, country music has never been creative.
I've always said country music because it's country music is literally somebody just telling a story throughout an entire song.
I can appreciate that, but the musically, it's not very creative for me. Like, I enjoy stories and songs, but it's a guy on an acoustic guitar. It's like every single fucking YouTube guy ever, but every college freshman.
But 10 times worse. I always feel like they sing about the same stuff, where it's like, it's either someone's being cheated on, or it's Jesus, or it's like you're all, it's like how you can't, it's like how you can
I mean,
come
that
back home.
Criticism can be laid at every single music industry ever.
Yeah,
but,
true.
Well, genre, not, it's one industry.
Yeah, but I just don't like the pacing of them, and the fact that they're all like the same 8 chords. Again, that's also the same with rock music, but I feel like the sameness and lack of creativity in the music is the most prevalent in country.
I could see that, because I think it also kind of combines with Justin's point, where every song kind of sounds the same because they're also the same type of subject matter. Because, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a divorce, it's a bad relationship, it's going through problems with your kids.
Yeah.
It's
and I'm sure some hardcore country fan, if we, you know, have any of those listening to this podcast, is like, hey, man, fuck!
We apologize to all fans of Rascal Flatts.
He did a spit take with his moonshine all over his monitor, his keyboards.
He said, "What now?"
That was never mind. It's too far of a. I'm about to reference something in the Super Bowl, but I'm gonna keep that to myself. Anyway, yeah.
Toby Keith.
So while we're into music, are there any songs that are like any artists that other people seem to love that you don't get, excluding Justin Bieber, because nobody in this box.
I was actually going to defend. I was going to defend that. I was going to say I don't get people's disdain for. I want to say tween music. You know, like, it's not just us. It's not just Justin Bieber. It's the same thing with it was the Jonas Brothers a few years ago. It's, you know, Hannah Montana. It's all those people, and it's something that's specifically catered for an audience. But the people who always are against it tend to be people who are much older. Who it isn't made for. So, it's this mentality that people have online that if it's not made for them, it shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, I think for that in particular, I have a sister, and so when Hannah Montana was a thing, she played it all the time. Like, when it was her turn to do the kitchen, she would bring her radio upstairs and just, like, turn it up to the point where, like, I could hear her from my room. I feel like that's part of it, or she would just, like, sing it and, like, put the CD in the radio. We had trips of it. Like, when we took trips.
Rock out the show, you get the
best. Shut up. And it got to the point where it starts to grate on you, and
yeah,
you know that it's not for you, but you don't care anymore. You just want it gone.
But that happens. I mean, that happens with anything. Like, yeah. I've had siblings who've done the same thing with rap and R&B.
Yeah, welcome to every top 40 song on the radio or in the Target or in the mall.
My thing is, and in recent memory, this has happened. Like, Justin Bieber has kind of become a total douche citizen of the world. He has kind of gone on the extreme, but you know, like, that's a reason I can get for people disliking him. But even before then, people had an issue with him, and now they're using his behavior to justify the dislike of him.
I'm like holding my finger up at this point. See, I don't think Justin Bieber has done anything that rock stars haven't done for years. It's just funny because it's Justin Bieber doing it.
Yeah, and because he's so popular, more attention is put on.
I don't know. I mean.
Again, it's not behavior that should be excused from any.
I was gonna say, remember, the whole sex, right, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle was, you know, very much a thing. I think it's weird that people look at Justin Bieber like he's the first person to ever have done, like, he's the first movie star to have ever driven a car drunk, or something. It's like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. has been addicted to cocaine, you know, but may very well still be, just less publicly about it. It's just, you know, his behavior is quite unique. It's funny to me the amount of reaction that he gets from people that didn't give a shit about him before anyway.
Yeah, it's just because he's popular, and I think in a lot of regards it's because he's popular and more famous than any of us will be, especially for somebody
fuck
who
him.
Got
and he's younger,
14. Yeah.
God, I hate him.
That's how I feel about looking at the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition now. It's like all the girls in it have become my age. A very weird feeling when you finally hit that age where you're like, oh, you're younger.
Yeah,
man.
That point hit me with sports really when it was like most of the players are younger than I am now. So it's like, oh, okay, hey, you're pushing 30. You should start thinking of retirement. I'm like, whoa, okay, we're getting up there now.
wait, okay, man. Like, geez, old man. Like, I'm 25. Oh.
Yep, flipping through the pages of the swimsuit edition, like, I don't I have boobs like that at my age? This is bullshit.
You're like, God, I'm so envious of you right now. God, I would kill for those legs. I need to go to the gym.
You know what? Trading my life to be Kate Upton, probably a good trade.
That would be
like
so fabulous.
I would no longer be a man, but I wouldn't really be too mad about it.
I just look in the mirror every day, I'd be like, yes! try on everything in my closet, be like, oh yeah.
All right, so that's a good tangent. Are there we'll just throw it into sections at this point. What about like actors? Are there any actors that you just absolutely can't stand?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really?
Okay, wait.
I will say his fandom more than him.
Yeah, I want to clarify. I don't like his fans. I'm sure he's like a good actor and all that, but his fans just. Most of his fans just drive me up the wall.
I feel like that is the, like, Justin Bieber pre-2012 syndrome as well. Like, the person himself wasn't bad, and his music was, you know, existed, but his fans are the ones that made it bad. So Benedict Cumberbatch is a really...
It might just be British men in general for some... Like, most British male actors in general, because I don't really find them...
as great as everyone says that they are. Does that make sense?
Actually, no, we're British. That like mainly appear in American stuff, like Daniel Day-Lewis, British actor.
Right.
But nobody'd ever know it since he didn't even remember his own act.
Well, I think again, part of this is the rise of stuff like Tumblr and social media, where it kind of is in the front for center. Like, again, it, you know, like little girls having crushes isn't so bad, but when you go on Tumblr and social media, it's like, oh my gosh, she should be in everything. It does kind of get annoying.
It's partially due for going on Tumblr. You know,
dude, it gets really weird on Tumblr. Like,
but you know what you're getting into.
It's not like what you just
do on Facebook, like, oh man, that's a Cumberbatch guy. No, you
be a disclaimer and be like, yo, dude, if you're going to join Tumblr, you're going to see some pretty effed up stuff.
You're going to see... Wait, what was y'all's tweet from this last week? Oh, can anybody answer that? Like, Tumblr is the only place you'll see a deep political discussion next to, like, a picture of four giant black dicks.
That sounds, and it's
that's
not a political
true.
Discussion because
that's,
Tumblr is awful for discussion.
Yeah.
It's usually somebody, who's really pretentious. You can usually tell because it's like, have you ever noticed? And then it's like this huge long thing that's hashtag.
Yeah, a lot of Tumblr is just the place where like it's the art school dropout kids that never actually fit to art school to begin with. It's like art kids whose parents couldn't actually afford art school, so they just
okay. So I think what we're getting at is that it's not that we hate Cumberbatch. It's that we hate Tumblr.
Yeah. I don't hate Tumblr.
I can't say that because I have a bajillion followers on Tumblr.
Yeah, I have Tumblr. I'm on it right now.
Yeah, I have it open. I'm refreshing it, seeing if anybody's commented on my shit. Oh.
Yeah,
that's where all my... I like it as a content distribution platform. It's where all of my... I create, and I think of Go, so it's good to push myself as a brand, as fucking weird and pretentious as that sounds. 2,091 followers, more than I have on Twitter. Yeah.
Wow. Like, as far as like content, like what stuff gets reblogged, it's kind of a bad site.
Yeah, no, I don't reblog things. It's just my blog, so.
I reblog things, but I try not to reblog like news things because sometimes like because misinformation can spread really quick, and I do not want to be a part of that.
Yeah. I just blog pretty pictures, which usually means I get lots of other crap in between that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was also going to say that their obsession with Leonardo DiCaprio and his Oscar win.
Oh my god, can we finally like let that go? Like, he's a great actor, but there have been like someone on Tumblr pointed out, there have been like a ton of other actors who haven't gotten Oscars either. So like, just hop off Leo's nuts.
Right? And he doesn't get an Oscar because, as other people have explained, he's a people's like popular person actor. He's like a pretty boy actor who plays roles to be admired instead of playing roles that you can relate to. It was an article that I was reading today that made a really good point. And it's like actors like him and Brad Pitt and I don't know. Anybody else that stars in, like, fun movies aren't the kind of people to get Oscars.
Right.
Yeah, but it's weird. It's I don't even mind the fact that, you know, like, you want to cheer for somebody. It makes awards easier, I think. It's probably why I don't get into them, because I usually don't have enough of
a channel. Certainly picking sides makes things better.
But like, I saw, like, Lupita?
I'm
going to butcher her name.
Lupita.
When she won.
Right.
Yeah, people are focusing on Leonardo DiCaprio and Cumberbatch's reaction to her speech instead of her actual speech. I'm like, wait, what? So she's giving this heartfelt speech, and you're concerned about how these people are reacting?
Like, oh my god, his cheekbones. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I think we all just need to stay off Tumblr. I think that's what we're really mad about here.
We might have to do that.
I think that's what we said. It's like it wasn't I don't think any of you would defend this. And this isn't Tumblr centric. No, Tumblr's for. I hate fandoms in general. I honestly hate fandoms in general.
It depends on the fandom. That's all I'm gonna say.
I think every fandom is stupid. And I don't mean being a fan. I don't even mean being a fanboy. I mean people who, like the other week, there was some discussion, there was some outrage and anger because one of the members of Teen Wolf said that if you're watching the show,
oh my god, that was so stupid.
Sorry, what did he say?
You said so, if you watch the show for the shipping of Steric, which is Styles and Derek, two of the main characters, then you're just watching the show for the wrong reason, and the fandom exploded. Who are you to tell us why we should watch the show?
If I could buy him a beer, I would.
There is a post on Tumblr where it's like, okay, during their conference at SDCC, we should boo him when they announce his name. It's like, calm your crap.
It's hard to criticize someone for being a fan of someone, and
like I said, I don't mind being a fan. I have no problem admitting I'm a fan of Batman or Mario or anything like that. But you don't see me going stir crazy when anybody says anything negative about it, or somebody says anything against my worldview of how that franchise should be taken. And that's the difference between
fans
and fandom.
I will at least defend the concept of fandoms as an item. Like the hatred part is fucking extreme, but.
Oh, I think the idea of fandoms is great. I mean, ideally, that is what social media is for, to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of getting together with people who share similar interests.
That doesn't happen.
And talking about it. But yes, when you talk about it, we're not going to go and attack people who disagree with us on Twitter because we're a group now. We're going to – like it's not – I remember – I forgot. Oh. The guy from Supernatural enjoys making fun of Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
So he made fun of Justin Bieber. Never insult Justin Bieber on Twitter.
What is so funny?
I love this story.
So the entire Justin Bieber fandom kind of rises around, and they're like, they're going to boycott the next episode, because this is during a hiatus, so they're like, they're going to boycott the Supernatural episode when it returns. And it comes back, and it has the highest ratings the show's gotten in 5 years.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, it's one of those things. It's just like this gang mentality that fandoms have, that it's either our way or get out of it.
Yeah, that is that's fair.
And I think it's kind of funny. I said I was going into the show without actually hating anything. Apparently, that's incorrect. It kind of and I think this is the same thing that kind of happens with industries as a whole. I think gaming is very inclusive, or wants to be, and I think comic books are very inclusive. I think comics are very inclusive as well. Well, I mean, it wants to be, as in fans want things. They only want the AAA big productions because those are the only games they care about. Those are the only games you show people. They don't want mobile games. They don't want indie games. They don't want games that don't push the boundaries of graphics. They don't want anything that isn't a AAA cinematic, story-driven, emotional, impactful game. That's
visceral.
All they want. Visceral, vicarious, and all that other stuff. So, you know, like, when you see, I mentioned this before a couple of weeks ago when Irrational Games closed down, people were like, "Oh, it's so unfair that Irrational Games closes down." But stuff like Flappy Birds or Candy Crush Saga makes $800,000 a day. I'm like, what did the two have to do with each other?
They don't correlate with each other at all.
They don't. But
they have two different business models.
Yeah, it's like, this is the thing I love, this is being wronged, and the thing I hate isn't, so why, God, why? And it's just, and comic books are the same way. I'm sure you've both heard of the notion of fake, you know, the fake nerd girl,
mm-hmm.
the fake gamer girl.
Have I heard of the notion of the fake gamer girl? Let's look at Sam's, picture history throughout the...
Yeah, we're not going to go through that again, but
the
yes. But yes, that other thing...
wait, I need to go through this.
Wait, you haven't...
No.
We've mentioned this on the show before.
One moment. Keep going.
I'm
famous somehow without it actually knowing it's me.
It's this whole mentality that you have to prove yourself worthy of being in a fandom. You have to take this 100 quiz to get in, and you know, like, you have to prove you're knowledgeable of something, or people don't want you. It's the same reason, and you know, I don't make fun. I don't like when people say this, but it's the same reason whenever people say, "Oh, you're a casual gamer because you play motion games or mobile games,"
That's one of the things that I had on my list, actually.
Or you're a casual gamer because you only play Call of Duty or you only play Madden. I don't care what the hell you play. Play it, enjoy it. It means that you aren't doing what I want you to do, so you don't count in my world.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck?
It's why I can't get into games like Dark Souls and Demon Souls, because the community is just so irritatingly smug. They're like, "Well, you've been spending your entire life playing casual games. You won't get Dark Souls because it's for a true hardcore gamer."
Yeah, and that's the type of mentality that I think is very poisonous to any industry.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of fans who kind of support it, especially online, when you can kind of ride with other people who share your beliefs and attack people who don't. So, well, Sam, since I don't think you, what do you have? Because I've apparently been ranting way too long.
Oh, so I was just trying to like curate the topic so that the discussion kept going. At this point, we sort of came. Got away from, but I realized that we all sort of agree that we hate the same things.
This will be fun.
Yeah, let's see. We're talking about actors. Earl, if you have anything to fill the time while I think of an actor.
What's a movie that you did not like that other?
Oh, movies I did not like. I'm
like with The Hobbit and Dark Knight Rises and Inception.
As far as you don't like it, or you
as,
get
as far as I do not like them.
Huh.
The Dark Knight Rises is a very divisive movie. So is The Hobbit, actually.
Yeah.
Well, like Batman killed people in Dark Knight Rises. I thought that pissed me off.
The thing about...
I think Inception is the one that's most... Like, I guess we will start there, because the other two, I think, are really kind of split, because you'll find people who hate them and people who hate
Inception's one I've liked less over the years, just because of what other people have said. I haven't actually watched it since the very first time, so I don't even know if I like it or not, but other people have started saying things about it, where I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense, and then all of a sudden other people's opinions have become my own without me even realizing it.
That makes sense.
Have you revisited the movie?
I have not. I don't revisit movies hardly ever.
I think that might actually be a good thing, though, because
your perceptions are
not entirely tainted.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, though. It's like, it's kind of weird. Like, if everybody else's impressions are coloring yours, like, you want to go back and kind of examine it for yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of just say, oh, yeah. Because, you know, like, again, it's time, distance. It's like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. But is that how it happened? Or is that how you remember it now because other people told you that's how it happened?
You know, I pretty much hate most movies that win Oscars. I don't really understand.
So last weekend, were you just like, boo, boo, you suck.
Wolf of Wall Street was my favorite movie last year. I actually thought Gravity was a well-made movie, but did not personally like it.
That makes sense. That seems to be the general consensus that I hear. It's like, it's great technically, but otherwise it's just kind of meh.
Yeah, it's not my kind of movie. I like fun movies. I thought that Wolf of Wall Street was fantastic.
Wolf of Wall Street seems to be very divisive.
I don't know.
What kind of movies were that?
Well, like, going off what I hear, it's more about, like, the consequences of the characters and how they didn't go through it, but that's another discussion. I personally haven't seen it, and I'm not sure that we can...
But I'm never going to watch 12 Years a Slave, because I don't want to feel like a shitty human being. As a white male, I don't want to feel like a shitty human being for 2 hours. I don't see the appeal of going in and watching a movie just to do that.
That makes sense.
Like, I don't want to watch a movie that's like, hey, you.
Meanwhile, I'm adding it onto my list of movies to watch. I feel like there's something wrong with that, where I'm legitimately looking forward to a movie about a dude who escapes slavery. I'm just like, yes. Yes.
I'm curious to watch it as well. And I think that's kind of my approach to Oscar movies, because a lot of them don't interest me on a personal level. But usually by the time, especially once Oscar season's kind of died down and once people are still talking about, then I kind of, because who talks about the artist anymore?
No one.
That was because it's boring. You don't want to watch that. I don't understand that. I hate every movie that makes me read instead of watching it, like movies that are subtitled in a language I will not watch on television, because movies are not designed to be read.
But they are designed to be watched, and your eyes are already fixated on the screen.
Yeah, but once you put subtitles on the screen, my eyes are fixed on the subtitles and not what's going on screen. So I am reading what's going on and missing out anything with pictures and moving and anything that goes on above it. It's why I hate subtitles.
So like a movie.
It's why I hate... Yeah, I don't get it. Subtitles first.
Alright.
Okay, I'm gonna disagree with you on that one, but...
Okay, go ahead. Why are subtitles... How do they not take away from the movie?
I don't think subtitles take away from the movie. I think subtitles, if used properly... Because it's always weird, like, if you go to a foreign country and everybody apparently speaks English perfectly, like, it gives some type of authenticity to it. Like, I'm fan Sheep and Dogs, and they do kind of mix it in. They do kind of speak Mandarin while they're speaking English.
And it's one thing if you just do it occasionally, but I'm talking about movies like... Oh, and Glorious Bastards has huge sections of just nothing but subtitled German. Like, and it makes sense, and I get why they do it. It's just, I don't like the idea of subtitles, and especially when it's, oh, I don't know. It seems like it reveals what's going to happen before it actually happens and the way it works.
That's a problem, and that's really, I think this is something that video games have an issue with, because video games tend to either have you line it up, or you can just kind of speed through it, and it really kind of mismatches if it has, like, actual dialogue. So, yeah, that I can understand. Movies are...
Subtitles in Mass Effect makes the game, like, twice as fast, but makes it to where you don't actually listen to anything anybody says, because you're just, A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A, because you can read so much
different than
you can.
The subtitles in Mass Effect make my eyes bleed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how that's different than how I usually play Mass Effect.
See,
with my face close to the screen, just squinting, being like...
The way subtitles write, if somebody ever wanted to do it, is make them typographic. Like, put them up on the screen as the character says the word, and only for, like, the time it takes them to say the word that you could read it.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, but then some people are going... I saw Nonstop, and that's kind of what they do, is that they pop... I think Sherlock does this as well. They kind of pop up, like, text messages and stuff on the screen. While the character's reading it, so that, you know, because sometimes, I think that sometimes that's a huge disconnect, is when a character's reading something and you don't see it, or, you know, like they have to give you, like, a piece of the image so you can kind of see it, or, like, when they're reading the edit, you just kind of get it scrolling through real fast. But, yeah, subtitles as a whole, I don't hate. I don't often watch foreign movies, because I do kind of agree with you. Usually when I watch movies, it's kind of when I kind of want to react and do stuff, not necessarily want to read. But I do make a point to try to watch foreign films occasionally. Usually not anything that isn't, like, action or horror, because those are easier to follow than actual, like, dramas in foreign languages. It's just really a pain for me.
Yeah.
All right.
But okay.
So we done talking about movies? Want to go on to games or TV?
Yeah, I've been looking at movies, and I don't see anything that... other people loved that I hated.
No, hold on. Neither one of you explained Inception.
Oh, yeah, go on. Explain Inception.
I like it. I just don't like it as much as everyone else. I feel like it kind of goes on a little bit longer than it needs to. And it also... something about the way that they set up the logic with the dreams and the meta-dreams and the dreams within the dreams just doesn't entirely gel with me. If that makes sense.
I can't argue against that, but go on. You're making it very hard to fight you and say, I just didn't get it myself. But okay, fair. I guess we can move on to TV then. Just knowing that Justin didn't like Inception, I thought it was a perfectly serviceable movie.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, like, it's good. I'm just saying, like, I won't watch it. Yeah. Like, I get some of the praise, but I don't get all of the praise.
I hate non-committal endings. I will agree with you 100% at the ending of, oh, is he alive, isn't he alive, ending
of
that bullshit.
That also
when there's not an answer.
Especially because, like, they set up, like, the spinning top is used, like, if it falters, that's how you tell that you're in, like, the dream of the real world, and I feel like it was just such a cock tease to make it...
Well, wasn't that the point? I don't mind it if it gives you some type of, like, it can be read either way instead of, like, oh, we're just gonna end this movie because we didn't have an ending.
No, I don't like people that can't decide on how they want to end movie. That's what I take it as. I always take it as, oh, we don't know if I want to end it this way or this way. So why can't we have both? Because that's not a fucking thing. Pick one. Somebody has to know it. There has to be a real answer somewhere. It makes me so mad whenever.
All right then. All right then. So next topic.
Yes, what is the next topic?
Television shows would be the next topic.
Okay.
Things that everybody else seems to like that you don't understand.
Sam, go first.
I was going to kick it off.
Go ahead.
I had Mad Men. I tried to watch the first season of that. I watched, like, 8 episodes. And I just don't get the point of the show. I don't get why people are enough with it. Like, nothing happens.
I watched 1 episode of Mad Men, and I hated it, so unfortunately.
I haven't seen any of it.
All right. This is I can feel it.
This is just fantastic. I'll do one.
Go for it.
Okay.
Breaking Bad. I don't hate it, and I get why people like it. It's just something that I personally do not care about at all.
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like I knew from, like, like, after the first season, I feel like I knew how things were going to go down, and I just sort of...
Everybody knows how things are going to go down. That's not the point of Breaking Bad.
Well, I feel like I just lost interest. And I also feel like Walter is just, knowing what I know about him, he's just going to go, he's just going to look like way worse in my eyes than people have built him up to be.
Well, and he is worse.
Yeah, he's terrible. That's the awesome point of the show.
I mean, I guess I would ask, did you read Shakespeare in school?
Not a lot.
Okay, because, I mean, it's basically a Shakespearean tragedy. It's a character who has these defining flaws that ultimately going to be their undoing. And it's not necessarily like nobody doesn't know what's going to happen to him. I mean, I don't think the ending shocked many people. It's the journey. It's kind of seeing how it all comes to be. And if they could have saved themselves if they just had the knowledge to kind of stop their behavior when it was getting bad.
All right, I got one. Where does everybody fall in The Walking Dead?
I wobble back and forth between it, because like when it's good,
so
it's really
the quality
good.
Of the show.
Yeah, well, it's like when it's good, like during the season openers and like mid season finales and stuff like that, it gets really good. But other times, it's just like nothing happens, or it's just really dull, and the characters are just irritating.
Right. See, I'm like The Walking Dead, and I know that's a very divisive show, that's why I asked it, but I get a little angry whenever I see people calling it a terrible show, because I think that even when Walking Dead's bad, the production value and the... it's different. That's how I pick most of my TV shows, is that they're different from your standard single-camera sitcoms or single-camera dramas that you see. Oh, I don't know if single-camera drama is actually a thing, but the just formulaic dramas that you see everywhere else. Like, it's not a detective show.
Right.
Just for not being a detective crime drama, The Walking Dead is automatically better than 70% of the shit on TV.
And I will kind of agree with you, because a lot of the criticism a lot of the times is that I think people kind of expect it to be a zombie show where they're busting heads and, you know, running through zombies every week. And that's when people don't get that, they tend to get upset.
Right.
Right.
I think part of the problem, though, for me, is that a lot of the times it's that I don't care enough about the characters on display, and this, you know, this whiffles back and forth. Like this week,
I like this week's episode.
I enjoyed this week's episode too. It gave backstories to a lot of characters we didn't know before. But like, my friend was asking me before this episode started, like, which character are you cheering for? Like, which character would you really kind of be distraught if they died? And it took me a long time to actually think of an answer. I'm like,
Daryl.
I'm not really Daryl was my answer.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Daryl is the show. Don't get me wrong.
I just want Daryl, Carl, and Michelle to like just go off and do their own thing, and that'd be like the rest of the series forever.
Because
those are like
I'm
the only
Carl can die. I
don't
know.
Yeah, that's the same. Kids on this show are awful.
I guess Carl has gotten better, but he's not entirely there for me. But I just feel like him and Michelle work well together to where I could tolerate him as long as she's with her. She's with him.
He's with her.
Whatever.
But yeah. With Justin, I think the show's really just kind of hard to defend for a lot of people because it is so inconsistent in its quality. Like, sometimes it's really good.
Well, I think the show has been good with the exception of season 2. The one on the farm was awful, but
season 2 was toilet.
Not on the farm has been pretty bad. And even the bookends of season 2 were actually pretty good. Like, as you said, beginning, the middle,
when it's on, it's some of the finest TV. And then when it's off, it's just kind of this really long trek through an hour.
Right.
All right.
I guess real quick, I want to change pace. I know this is Sam's show, but I was thinking about this. I mean, part of the show is for things that we don't get that other people, you know. But what about the opposite? What about TV shows that you like that don't really seem that popular?
Okay. I'll have to think about this for a minute since you brought it up. Do you have any... anything to start
with? Steve, you start with real quick.
I don't have any examples offhand. I was just thinking about it. There has to be something that people watch.
I'm such a slave to like popular media that I just like everything that everybody else likes.
Well, okay. Okay, go on.
Go on, Justin.
I was gonna say I wasn't into it at first, but now I'm kind of really getting into Teen Titans Go.
You should watch it.
Yeah,
that makes you better than most of us.
I watch it when it's on, but, like, it took some time, but it grew on me.
Yeah.
See, the only thing I have to TV like that are... Oh, sorry, you didn't actually explain why you like Teen Titans Go.
Well, no, it's just, like, you can, I like to take it for what it is and not, like, as, like, a continuation of the original series. I like to think it was, like, just one-offs, like, things that they do in their off time, like, someone, like, one of the times is just creating it when they're bored. So it's just fun to think of that, to think of it like that. And the humor's kind of funny, and the visuals are kind of interesting, and it's still got, like, this undercurrent of dark humor about it, and it just kind of all mixes together for me.
All right. I've got a good answer for movies, so don't let me forget that. But I'm going to chime in real quick. The only thing I have like that for a TV show is just stuff that other people don't watch because they haven't really discovered yet. Like Hannibal is a fantastic show that I don't hear nearly enough people talk about.
You should follow my time.
Right.
Okay. I'm surprised about.
What?
Dude, people love Bates Motel.
Yeah.
I don't know about Bates Motel, but Hannibal and... Oh, never mind. I can't remember the one I watched. No, nobody. Oh, Black Sails. I don't see anybody talking about Black Sails, and I think it's fantastic.
I don't think a lot of people have Stars, though.
I was going to say, I've never even heard it.
Yeah, not a lot of people have HBO either, and everybody watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, that's because they pirated it.
Everybody watched Spartacus and have Stars. Yeah. I was going to say, it's not.
I'll watch a Spartacus.
Y'all didn't like Spartacus?
I've never seen it. Oh. I just know that there's like a lot of sex and nudity.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people from that show have made their way to Arrow.
Yes.
It's
quite a few of them.
People in Arrow. Spartacus was a good show. Like, I don't watch them for sex and nudity or anything, but... And,
it was benefit.
Of course not. Who would... what are you... But, yeah, it was a good... It's good to... What Stars does is takes... things from that you see in other movies and other genres and adds an edge to them that they don't show in the movies. Like, that takes... Even wasn't Gladiator even PG-13? Or am I crazy?
I think so.
And yeah, what Spartacus does is shows you, like, the darkness to it. It adds a layer of grit, which I know television and games and movies are getting a little bit too gritty as of late, but there's still a couple things they can do. And... why I like Black Sails so much is it's the first thing I've ever seen that portrays pirates how they actually fucking would be. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean, oh, here's happy-go-lucky Jack Sparrow. He's going to, you know, prance around and say nice things. And, you know, Black Sails, they're calling people cunts. And they're, you know, just murdering people and double crosses. And it feels like real pirates as opposed to Disney pirates, which is all I've seen my entire life.
Okay.
Fair enough. I was going to say my show is... I think a show that has a decent following, but I think part of it is because there's an alternative that people prefer. And I actually have come around to it as the better version, but Elementary. I prefer it over...
yeah, oh, no. See? You can't do that. Tumblr will kill you.
So
it doesn't go on Tumblr.
I think it's today's
episode is brought to you by Sherlock.
Today's episode is brought to you by MySpace.
I think it's become a much better show than Sherlock. A part of it is because it's around a lot more often than every 2 years.
Give me that one.
The other thing is, I feel like the characters are able to kind of evolve and grow over the show, just, you know, part of it because there's more episodes, but like Sherlock's relationship has been able to change and evolve, and him as a character has been able to mature and kind of become more human, I guess, because part of the reason people hate Sherlock is because he's kind of a douche, but... Here, people call him out on his crap. He has to deal with his crap because people call him on it. And characters aren't just like, oh my gosh, he's so awesome. He's so wise. He's so handsome. They're like, you know what? You're an idiot. And I think another part of it is that, and it's really weird because I honestly thought they made her a female to do this, but they get rid of the weird sexual tension between John and Sherlock by making her a female who has no sexual interest in him whatsoever. They don't even tease it.
I've never watched Elementary.
I've seen an episode or two. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's good for like, you know, the reasons that he said, like, good writing, and the characters evolve over time.
See, I don't know when Sherlock Holmes became a handsome person. I guess with Robert Downey Jr. or something. Actually, it's probably before then. But I pictured him, like, reading the stories. I never pictured him as this just
But he's British, so he has to be handsome, because otherwise you can't draw in the viewers.
I was about to say that's kind of a Hollywood thing. It's the same thing with James Bond, because if you read the books, James Bond is nothing but a drunk womanizer. And they do kind of get that in the movies, but he's a handsome devil. Like, you can understand why women...
But he's a charming womanizer.
Yeah, well, you get why
have
women...
Have you seen the video of Sean Connery talking about when it's acceptable to beat a woman?
No.
Oh, my God. It is the... I guess we can't show that here, so there's not a point in talking about it, but it is...
Just link it to me.
Yeah, I will. All right, keep going.
But yes, I would recommend, and like I said, again, there's like 40 episodes compared to 9 of Elementary, so there's a lot more there. And they do a lot more to evolve the formula as well with him being in. Like, you think, I thought, like, but again, like when it was first announced, I was just like, oh, they're just going to do the BBC show in New York. And it's like, no, we're setting it in New York, but he's been in Scotland Yard. He's a recovering drug addict, which is always a big part. I think they toned down in Elementary. Sherlock, I should say, and stuff like that. So it's a really fun show. I guess before we forget, and I want to move on, what was your movie?
My movie was movie 40. Is it 3 or 2?
43.
Oh, God. Oh my God.
No, you are not depending on this show. I'm sorry.
For whatever reason.
I know you're the host, but you're not defending that. We're not going to defend that on this show.
No. I hate you. I hate everything about you right now.
Yeah, I figured that was my best worst example, was my 2 hours in the movie theater weren't terrible.
You saw it in the movies?
I saw it opening night at midnight.
What's wrong with you?
Because I didn't think it was going to be bad. I liked the premise of it.
What premise?
I liked Dumb and Dumber. I thought
apparently.
I thought the director of Dumb and Dumber could make. Okay, I completely agree with you that it is an absolute shithole of a movie, but I did not hate it during my 2 hours of watching it. Because it was terrible, I thought it was bad enough to be funny, and some of the jokes still kind of work. Like, I don't know, seeing Hugh Jackman with balls on his chin is funny.
No, it's so, not. That is stupid.
It is stupid, but as a premise, it's fucking hilarious and dumb.
To be fair, some of those sketches work, but as a whole, it's just like an awful mess.
Some of the sketches worked, and some of them I could see what they were going for, but some of it was just dumb. It's not even the movie trying to be funny, but watching it, some of it came across as funny anyway. Even if it was so hard and it failed really bad, that's funny to
me. The Chris Pratt one. The one with Chris Pratt was just, it was so bad, but you just can't stop laughing at it.
No, we've given Movie 43 more than enough time on the show. We are moving on.
I had to stop it through that.
What about the basketball team? It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh!
That one was amazing.
That was fucking awesome.
I've seen so many bad movies in my life, and this was one of the absolute worst.
You didn't like the basketball sketch?
We are not talking about this movie anymore. I want to know
your opinion on it.
Okay. Real quick. Sam, that basketball sketch was amazing. Let's move on.
Okay, just real quick, since we're talking about bad movies. This is a pet peeve of mine, and it's a very petty pet peeve, but whenever people do end-of-the-year worst movies, it always pisses me off, because as somebody who actively searches out bad movies, nobody... Like, the movies people pick are just like, oh, I didn't like this movie, so it has to be bad.
That's what it is with everything.
No, like, there are actual bad movies. Like, some of the movies... I mean, like, how is this on your list? Last year, so Movie 43 and Sharknado come out.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow...
Sharknado is amazing.
People love Sharknado.
Yeah, somehow you have stuff like The Lone Ranger and Man of Steel and Pacific Rim on your worst movies of 2013.
Whoa, hold on. I like two of those three movies.
Yeah, Man of Steel isn't awful.
No, yeah. But... My point is, like, there are much worse movies that came out and I didn't know.
Yeah, I agree. I want to kill this person that said Pacific Rim was a bad movie.
Search out bad movies. I always think it's any genre. Like, if you say bad video games and it's stuff like The Last of Us, or, you know, sometimes people just do that to get a rise out of other people.
And it works. Fuck them.
Yeah, it's working right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's
why. It's
topic before I get angry.
It's one of the reasons why, like, when I started the site, and I don't do this anymore because people can't read, I didn't do worse things. I just did disappointing, which is a completely different ballpark, because then it's talking about your own expectations and what you wanted out of it, instead of trying to put an arbitrary mark of quality on something because you didn't enjoy it. But yes, I guess with that, we're moving on to video games, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start this off just because you two have talked about it already this show, and I know it's one that I usually get grief for. I don't get the appeal of Mass Effect.
Get out.
Yes.
All the Mass Effect? Have you ever... Yeah, well, you played them, right?
Like
yes. In general, or one.
Okay, specific, let me clarify. I don't mind Mass Effect. I've played all of them. I'm almost done. My thing is the way people talk about it and what I get out of it are two different things. Because the way people talk about it, it's like some of the finest sci-fi written ever, and I'm like, I don't know what you people have been paying attention to.
Compared to other sci-fi games, it is a high watermark. Go on.
In other games, but like the way people talk about it, like I remember there was an article a few years ago how Mass Effect was the Star Trek and the Star Wars of our generation, or it was better to find in those two universes. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I don't know about. Well, it depends on which. Well, for one thing, it depends on which era, Star Wars or Star Trek. But for another thing, I got nothing.
I get it in some degrees because of video games. You aren't limited to, and this is, you know, this is happens with most sci-fi where almost everybody looks like a humanoid because you have human actors. You don't have alien actors hanging out there. So, you know, everything's kind of humans and make. With video games, you can kind of make it up and you can design them because you don't have those limitations, which I understand.
Right.
But other than that, it's like, it doesn't really feel like anything special. Like, I remember playing Mass Effect 2 and everybody going on and on about how it has this amazing story. And I always try to point out, and, you know, part of this is just me being obnoxious, I'm sure. But I think sometimes people confuse great characterization with a good story. Because Mass Effect 2 doesn't have much of a plot. It has great character moments. And people kind of use that as justification.
But its plot is its character moments. Like, I feel like you can't necessarily... It's about recruiting a team to do a suicide mission. I don't think you can...
Which isn't much of a story. It's character. It's characterization. It's a story.
Yeah, okay. It isn't much of a story, but it's a good premise for the story, which is more than most movie... It's the same as most movie, like, blockbuster action movies you get nowadays.
And nobody defends those having great plots.
But
those don't have great characters. Mass Effect at least has great characters in the same thin premise.
Yeah, it's got a consistent cast of great characters, whereas, like, movies only have, like, one or two, like, consistently great characters, sometimes depending on, like, the franchise.
Okay. Well, give me an example of these movies that don't have great characters.
Transformers!
Nobody defends Transformers.
Oh, hold on. No, but Mass Effect does have great characters, is what we're saying, and that's why
But you're saying as compared to these movies, and I'm trying to see an example of people who defend these movies.
The Star Trek reboot.
Defend, but we're not talking. Okay, yeah, actually.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's Star Trek has great characters. I think
the
problem
with
that.
I'm talking about the reboot. As far as bad characters.
I don't think it has bad characters. I think it has familiar characters.
But it has very thinly defined characters. Like, they aren't very deep.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because they just assume everybody knows these characters. And I think that's a huge problem with the Star Trek reboot, as much of it as I enjoy the film. It's a lot of it is like, oh, you should know these characters in these environments, so we're just going to...
But people do defend that as being a good movie, and I was underwhelmed by the last Star Trek movie, actually.
I think most people were underwhelmed by the last one.
But it got like 95s in Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't think it's that high.
It's in the 90s in Rotten Tomatoes. I did
it
not...
It cannot be that high.
Keep going. Keep talking.
But still, like I said, and I think Mass Effect is, I think the other thing is a lot of people kind of yawned for its huge choice system, and I think choice systems in video games are usually always broken, because you're either super good or you're terrible. There's like no in between.
I agree with that. The only game to do choice correctly is, you know what, there aren't. I mean, I was about to defend
The Walking Dead, and I didn't even think The Walking Dead actually gives you choice. It just gives you the illusion of choice, so that's not really fair.
The one that I think does it best, and I know people always give me crap for this, is Alpha Protocol.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Alpha... Okay, have you explained the reason I...
Oh, okay.
The reason I would say Alpha Protocol is because Alpha Protocol doesn't have a binary good or bad system. It has a aggressive, it has passive, and it has suave. And what happens is dependent on
suave is the whole system. I've never played that.
It's basically you can act like James Bond. Just
oh, okay. I was about to say it has aggressive, passive, and then people want to fuck you. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Not aggressive. The whole notion is that depending on the character you talk to, your act like one character might react to you better if you're suave, while another one might react to you better if you're aggressive, because you're bouncing off of the character you're talking to, and it works in that way. In that it's not good or bad; it's dependent on who you're talking to and your relationship with them. And I think that works. I mean, ultimately, it's still kind of the same system. You're a good guy or you're a bad guy, but it's like if you're talking to a chick who enjoys a rough man, if you're suave to her, she's just going to not pay attention to you because she doesn't want a weak man.
I'm a jack power, this woman.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's basically...
That sounded really dirty.
but yeah, that's kind of the thing. What about you two? Since I'm apparently just
Star Trek is at 87% on
Rotten. Yeah, I said it.
you looked it up.
Yeah, I did too. I could not believe it was that high.
Yeah, exactly. It would. So there's one that I didn't like as much as everybody else seems to.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah, me neither. I thought it was.
The pretty.
It was not what it could have been.
But
I did not like it. But yeah, I was so surprised that so many people.
Did anybody see the movie You're Next?
No.
All right, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Is a movie based around a joke? Is a horror movie parody? And then once you understand the joke, the rest of the movie is like, yeah, okay, you're just doing more of the same. It's kind of – I actually don't like the South Park game from what I've played of it while we're on video games.
Oh, really?
It's a really topical one, yeah. I don't know if you all played it, but the first 3 hours at least, or the first 4 hours of the South Park game are like, hey, you remember this episode in South Park when this character was there? Yeah. And there's no joke attached to it. I like South Park for original writing and commentary. And it could get better later from what I hear of other people's reviews, but the first 4 hours of the game have not grabbed me at all. And the game's not good enough to make up for the lack of that. Deep enough.
All right.
It's perfectly serviceable. It's just not good.
Okay.
I don't like... I just haven't played too much of the Metal Gear Solid games, but I don't like what I've played of them.
I haven't played any of them, but like from what I hear, the storyline is just so confusing that I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, you start in order. I mean, they just go in order, but yeah, it's a really weird.
But I mean,
they really don't.
Well, they go. I mean, they don't go in order because like 3, I think, is the earliest game in the series or something like that, and Peace Walker's in between that, and then Phantom Pain.
Yeah, perfect order. 1, 4, 3, 2, 5. What's not to get about that order?
But what I meant is like it's the way it's like saying you don't get Star Wars because you can watch the original trilogy before you watch the prequel trilogy, because technically speaking those come first, but you know they were released afterwards. But I mean, as far like it builds on the story, but I think this happens with any video game that tries to have a continuous narrative over the course of decades of games. It's like, I guess you originally planned for it, it's just going to get really confusing as you try to fit stuff in there.
Yeah, like from what I hear, Metal Gear has just been confusing since like game one.
I guess really defending Metal Gear, but
I'm not gonna defend it. But yeah, I mean, I can understand with multiple characters and clones and you know government and conspiracies. Yeah, it's really out there. I've always, again, it's another game that I've always asked that when people laud it for great writing and great storytelling, like this is really just like really terrible espionage sci-fi, but it makes for a cool game, I guess.
Alright.
You're still the only person I know that doesn't like Mass Effect.
I'm the only one who actually did the show right, I guess, because it's supposed to be
so. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I wanted.
I don't like Gone Home.
Because in the past year or two, I developed a distinct hate for games that are supposed to make you think and don't actually have any gameplay to them, like Gone Home and Papers, Please, and I don't know.
I'm probably going to catch up because I'm just so over the whole, like, indie games are the new god trend. It's just so dumb. I feel like people try to, like, make them and AAA like gel and be in the same airspace,
But I don't know.
They don't have to be, and they try to make them compete. And I feel like it doesn't have to be a competition. They can just both do their own thing.
I think Splunky is like the peak of gaming.
Okay, I have no idea what that is.
One moment. You've never played Splunky? You're crazy.
I have not.
One second.
Okay, while he's off to another game, I really can't get any more people to hate me right now.
Do it.
I don't know any others, because I added it to... okay. This is kind of in the same mode as GTA, Red Dead Redemption.
I haven't played it, so I guess neither of us can really talk about it.
Okay, well, it's the same thing. I find it slow, and it takes itself way too seriously. And Rockstar, I've always found it fascinating that Rockstar gets away from having a really, I don't want to say broken, but their gameplay systems aren't really that tight. Their cars control like they're on mud.
See, this is the same. This is what I'm talking about with GTA.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the same. Yeah. It's the same engine, and it's been that way since GTA 3. And people continue to give them praise, so there's never been any reason to fix it. Their shooting mechanic is awful.
Their shooting is really bad.
Like, I think I've heard it's improved with GTA 5, but I don't know how much.
It still feels a little loose, and I don't like how, like, in GTA 4 and 5, you had, like, that little, like, lock-on to each body part that just felt unneeded.
But nobody's ever liked the shooting in Grand Theft Auto games. Like, I don't think anybody's going to defend that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was kind of the point. It's like, but nobody complains about it to them because they've been using the same shooting mechanics for 13 years now.
I don't know. I've always complained about it. It's like, I don't like the combat in any Bethesda game.
Dude,
Skyrim's combat is very clunky.
It's so simplistic, especially when you're coming off of a game like Immortal or Devil May Cry.
I don't even think simplistic's the right word, but they're like, something feels off about the hit detection, and...
That too.
In Fallout, using guns is really dumb, so they added in bats to try to make it better, but that's just a shitty way to compensate for a bad gun system. Sorry, I just got a whole bunch of packages, apparently. So,
yeah.
Open packages line. Yeah, I have three of them. Boy, medicine.
One game that I'm not as into as everyone else is one of last year's greatest games, Bioshock Infinite.
I mean, not the first person to say that, but...
Well,
that's my top... Probably my top game of last year, actually.
Well, that's just the reason they rationally chose down.
Yeah, let's just say it's like, well, I guess it doesn't... I'd be like, well, I guess they can cry into their time cards. Oh, wait. But I think more than anything, like, the combat is fine. I think it's this story that really just doesn't entirely gel well with me. I think it's because, like, once they started using alternate realities, they used it as a crutch to defend some of the weirder parts of the story, and some of the character motivations that go with the reality warping don't entirely gel together.
I could see if you overanalyze it, that makes sense, but I have I have just enough attention span to where that story explained things perfectly for me. I'm like, great, that makes sense, let's keep going, and it comes at such a fast pace that I didn't really care that there were some plot holes in it. Because there's plot holes and everything, if you think about it too hard.
But, yeah, I know, but like...
And I sat there at the end of the game and just, like, had my... I didn't sleep that night. Like, my mind was just continually blown by things in the game. It's how I felt when I watched Cabin in the Woods, actually, to a lesser degree, for Cabin in the Woods. But I saw Cabin in the Woods, did not understand that movie until 3 minutes towards the end. I'm like, oh, shit, it's a parody!
Wow.
I did not get that until...
I can't remember
her name, but the girl from Aliens, or Alien, comes on.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, it's a... Oh shit! Oh my god! Because the hair dye and I didn't watch a ton of 80s horror movies.
Neither did I.
All of them. I have no idea, honestly, how I made it that far and didn't get the point of it. But as a result, it made the movie so much better. Because I was getting angry at people for laughing during that movie. I'm like, they're ruining a perfectly good horror movie.
Wow. So even the aspect of the people up in the bunker... You still found to be scary.
How did you miss that?
Not even scary. I'm like, well, this is dumb. And then I got to the end. I'm like, oh, I have no. Part of it was I was just so mad at people for laughing during the whole thing because I thought it was supposed to be a serious horror movie. And it was on 420, so I assumed the entire theater was high and not understanding the movie.
Oh, my God.
And that had a lot to do with it. But by the end of the movie, it became one of my favorite movies that year because of that. And I watched it again. I'm like, okay, this movie's fantastic.
And you're right, I shared one.
What are we even talking about now?
Chatting it. We were talking about video games.
Yeah, I never realized I'm the asshole. Just like every good horror movie, we are the real villain. Yeah.
Okay, that's
real quick. Podcast. Let's not get too hung up on
it. Have you seen the Scream franchise?
I missed the beginning of that.
Have you seen Scream franchise?
Yeah,
I've seen Scream 3 and 4.
Yeah, I've seen Scream 3 and 4. And I liked the most recent Scream movie a lot.
That was actually really good.
Time out.
Little weird, but really good.
You've seen 3 and 4, but not 1 and 2? How does that work?
Yeah. Because I'm young.
They were on TV. Well, Scream 4 was on TV, and I just turned to it.
That's not a defense. They're on Netflix. I mean, it's just, you can't say.
Are they?
I don't have any.
I
have Amazon Prime. I'm one of those people.
I have it. I just don't care.
Because it's old anymore. Like, it's not like the 80s or 90s where you had to track down a VHS. Or even in the early 2000s, get to track down a DVD. You can usually find it streaming.
I never heard anybody say fantastic things about those. Like, whenever I was growing up, none of my friends watched Scream. Nobody I know watched Scream, and I didn't have anybody to tell me they're good movies. And even now, I don't really hear anybody talking.
This is what I have with Die Hard. Because people rarely, if ever, talk about it until, like, the next one comes out.
I hear about it every Christmas, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Everybody talks about it every Christmas. I don't know.
Well, then, you and I just hang out around different people.
Alright.
Damn it, Justin.
Alright.
But, yes. I was just thinking about that because that was kind of the first major horror parody. And I assume it would be the same thing for you, where you probably didn't grow up on, like, the Jasons and the Freddys.
Yeah, nope. The first Freddy Krueger movie I saw was the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot.
So, yeah. You have a terrible memory of Freddy. Okay.
Which wasn't as the movie.
As long as you folks remember that you watched Independence Day this year, we're golden for a while.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have it on my hard drive, so part of me remembers it. But
I can get it at the library someday. Maybe. Probably. Hopefully. Maybe not.
Library.
I think it's on. It's coming on 6. But yes, I was surprised to find out that anything else?
JRPGs.
Seconded. Turn-based combat is the most boring gameplay mechanic ever created to me.
Yes, I can't get into turn-based combat.
I was about to say, that's a very wide thing to say, because not every JRPG uses those systems. I mean, I know it tends to be the most popular. I'm like, the Tales of games don't use a turn-based system, and they're, like, probably the third most popular JRPGs.
He's getting bored just listening to you.
No, sorry. That was on accident. Dark Souls, I have a bit of an interest in the first one and maybe the second one, but more than anything, like I said earlier, it's a community that really kind of makes me want to not get into it. Just because they're so insufferably smug that I feel like just asking for help is going to leave me more upset, like, angrier than sad.
And I can get that. I would just say ask certain people. I'm sure there's certain people you trust. You can ask, and they won't be smug about it.
Right, yeah, there's certain. Right, there's certain people. I guess it all comes down to, like, I don't like the sort of arbitrary divides that people make, like, to distinct themselves from other gamers.
Yeah, and we've had this discussion before. Fans,
like,
I mean,
there doesn't need to be that divide. Yeah.
Another one is probably
going to get cast some practice. I was going to say PC gamers. Or PC gaming in general.
Yeah, people who worship Gabe Newell.
Yeah.
He's like a god. Yeah.
Well, I think, again, that's kind of getting into fandom where there are people. There are PC gamers. I don't mind. There are PC gamers.
Yeah, you're right. They're absolutely a PC gaming fandom. I did not put that together before today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are people. I mean, there are people. I mean, you're talking about the superior version. Get a PC. PC's the best. You know, stuff like that. That happens. But I mean, playing on PC. Like, there's people who play on PC and who just play games. Just the same way there are people who own an Xbox or a PlayStation or a Nintendo platform, and they're just like they're fans. But the ones that you tend to see are the extremists. The ones who are hyper crazy with everything, and the ones who kind of have to be the winners, so they kind of, you know, they kind of mock you for anything else. But I don't think the reason I'm not huge in the PC game is just it's just a pain in the ass. Like, I prefer consoles because they're simple. You get a console, and for the most part, the players will be buying for it without any additions or anything like that. You don't necessarily have that with a PC. You can get a PC, and it might be too new to play an older game. It might be too old to play a newer game. Well, it may not have the right graphics card for this engine to optimize it and all this other stuff. There's a lot of hurdles if you're not deep into the community or know somebody who is or aren't willing to pay out. I know you can make a cheap PC, but getting a pre-made one, like the Alienware stuff.
So much work.
Or a Steam box, which aren't cheap either.
Yeah. What kills PC gaming for me more than anything is that the things that they list as benefits just seem more cosmetic and not stuff that would actually make me want to game on my PC. Because, like, if I ask, mostly it's, like, better graphics and mods. I don't really care about that stuff. I care more about exclusive stuff or like how I'm gonna get my money's worth, and I don't feel like I will get my money's worth with if I game on PC.
Well, I think you would get your money's worth in the fact that Steam tends to have amazing sales.
Yeah, besides Steam, but like as far as PC gaming in general, I don't feel like I would be getting my money's worth, especially like the money I'd be getting, like my money's worth and back.
I feel like I would get my money's worth if you have a decent PC, because you can play a lot of the games that are, because Microsoft and Sony don't necessarily always see as a competition, like, you know, stuff like Titanfall's coming out on the PC and stuff like that, so it's like, oh, I don't need an Xbox One right now because these games are coming out. I mean, granted, as the generation goes on, that stuff might not happen as much, but yeah, I think PC also tends to be, because it's a much easier platform to kind of get into over like console development or, you know, or handheld development. A lot of indie games also go there, so it's an easier avenue to kind of get that mixture of games if you're into that. I know not everybody is.
Yeah, well, that's another problem. I guess basically my problem is that PC gaming is just so irritatingly smug.
Yeah, that I can agree with. If you get bad, like if you get bad fans of anything, they can be smug and obnoxious. And
true, but I feel like with PC, it's a whole new level of smug, and it just gets to be like either too much and.
Okay, anyway. I'm going to say this, and I know I also run a gaming podcast, so this is probably not the best place to say, but I also feel the same way about Sony fans. I feel like Sony fans are the most, I don't want to say entitled consumers on the market, but I feel like just because they've always kind of been associated, they know, get what they want without any struggle, they always kind of come off as like, oh yeah, you know, this is the best system on earth. And I hate Sony, I think they do a great job, but their fans annoy the hell out of me.
You and I know different fans then, because I haven't had that happen.
It happens. I used to run a thing on Twitter called The Daily Debate, where you used to talk about video games every day, and I used to get, like, people used to get upset if we weren't talking about Sony, we shouldn't do this, because why are you talking about anybody else? Yeah, so it's also one of the reasons I stopped doing it, because I just couldn't deal with that. It was a headache and a half. But yeah, anything else before we begin to wrap? And I'm really just taking this away from Sam, but
resolutions are stupid.
That is true.
I'm sorry, resolution gate or whatever the hell it is. It's dumb.
Okay, I've had this discussion on the other show, and I think I've had this on Twitter before. Resolution gate, console wars.
I just gave it a random name.
No, it's called Resolution Gate.
We need to. We the hate's about out. We've been going for an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh,
But yeah. we haven't been recording for that. We were waiting for
you. Well, okay, we've been going for over an hour at this point.
Yeah.
Fine.
I know everybody's full of hate. This could go on for hours more, but I think we need to wrap this up.
I wanna puke. I'm gonna puke out my hate afterwards.
Y'all
just be like,
I'm just gonna go tout my love for movie 43. Not love, but you know, my not hate for movie 43.
I'll break your
leg. Did you just say you're gonna tout?
Yep.
Do people still tout?
I'll bring it back.
Can we not make it sound like it's a verb?
Well, that's what you call
it's
it.
A verb.
Tout.
Yeah, touting's a verb.
It sounds like a weird verb.
It is a weird verb.
I mean,
verb,
yeah, sure, but it's.
But you do.
It's a verb,
mean,
yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna say what it sounds like, but.
Yeah, that does sound like a potty joke, but that's what it is. I mean,
yeah, a potty joke. That's what I was gonna say.
You tout. I mean, all right. What else?
All right. This has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 163. If you like our voices or our faces, not that you know what those look like, you can find us on Twitter by say your own Twitter handle, because I don't necessarily know yours. Mine is at SNEALIV. Every time I say Snealiv, people never know what the fuck I had to say at this thing, so.
Why would people know how to say that?
There's absolutely no reason that people would know how to say it. It's just
don't get angry.
It's just my name.
Right. Yeah,
together.
But,
I don't know. Yeah. I apologize for being angry at you all for not knowing how to say my name.
Well, it's not your name. It's your
my Twitter.
Your first initial.
My first initial, with, the last name, and
name,
then my
which,
four.
Yeah, my,
you're four.
I don't know what to call that. I'm the fourth. I'm the junior. I'm just going to add that four times to my Twitter handle.
You like the alpha beta kappa phi.
It's short, okay? I like it because it fits within a Twitter box.
Please, don't
that's
be angry.
That's fine, but you're going to get upset that people don't understand what the hell that is.
But this show is about getting upset. It fits with the theme, Earl. If you have questions for the show, tweet them at me and I'll ignore them because we don't do questions on this show.
We definitely didn't give our other Twitter handles.
Yeah, go on. Give
on
have
a Twitter.
Oh. Yeah, bullshit.
He doesn't want more people making fun of him. We already have a coalition against Justin.
No, you have two people. That's not a coalition.
It's more than two people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Three people, big deal.
Gigawatt conduit. They'll have some spelling though.
And if you ever want to find him, just hit for the hashtag damn it, Justin.
Gosh,
yeah. Because he always does something stupid that pisses us off.
I haven't done anything stupid that way.
This all about Justin Bieber, so don't look up the damn it, Justin hashtag.
Damn it. That's a good Bieber. Point.
I've checked. There's only like one of the dudes who used it like 2 years ago.
Oh, well, that was the first result I found. Earl is at Earl_nerdsontherocks, or NOTR, since that whole thing doesn't fit. It took me an embarrassingly long amount of time to understand that's why his name was that.
You mean me telling you that?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That, you know.
I was just like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's really weird because my full name's right there now, so.
Well, I didn't know you as that before.
It's always been me, but okay.
I didn't know.
I always thought it was a made-up name, to be honest.
What, Earl?
It's made up. It's made up by the government.
Well, I think Justin did the same thing. He's like, that's just, I mean, yeah, it's the one I was given. It sucks because it's usually
your
first
Earl's
name.
Not, I was going to say, Earl is normal to me. Your last name is funny.
My last name's a normal name. Well, it's a normal first name. It's not an often last.
You have a Ricky Bobby.
I have that. I have three first names: Sam, Lloyd, Neil. Those are all technically. I mean, nobody uses Lloyd. I hate middle name.
And what's your social security number again?
Right.
Just for documentation.
Yep. So you can steal all of my glorious identity, my identity that's worth so much.
Yeah, the
Machinima.
No, worth absolutely.
Damn.
All that money in my bank account of like $50.
I got the change in my pocket.
Anyhow, we'll be back next week with
Earl.
I don't know what, but I think we're done with this experiment. Yes, Sean wants to host next week, I doubt. So I'll be back.
Go listen to the Lego show. That was a good one.
Yes, yeah. That was.
Go listen to last week's show. That was hilarious.
I mean, if you want to listen to me, when?
You sound, you know, the only person I know who sounds down about winning is going to listen to me win.
You want to listen to me win, I guess.
Yeah,
it's no big deal. I don't care. I didn't win anything.
I didn't. So
did I say I was going to give you something if you won?
You gave me your friendship.
Oh, yeah. But see, deep in print, and as we all know, as My Little Pony has taught us, friendship is magic. So shut your face.
Okay, we're even on that note, so we'll see you next time.
You should definitely put it in My Little Pony theme song at this point.
My little pony, my little pony. Ah, my little pony. I used to wonder what friendship could be.
My little pony.
Until you all shared its magic with me. Big adventure.
Tons of fun.
A beautiful heart, faithful and strong.
Sharing kindness.